security program on spreadsheets, new regulations piling up, an audit dread. It's time for Vanta. Vanta automates security and compliance, brings evidence into one place, and cuts audit prep by 82%. Less manual work, clearer visibility, faster deals, zero chaos. Call it compliance or call it compliance. Get it? Join the 15,000 companies using Vanta to prove trust. Get started at vanta.com/calm.
I want to start with something simple, but really sit with it. How often do you feel like you're not enough? Like you should be further ahead, more disciplined, more put together? And even when things are going well, there's still quiet pressure to be more. And that feeling, it just doesn't stay with your thoughts. It shows up in how you live, what you reach for, what you avoid. And for a lot of people, it even shows up with their relationship with food. And today's a conversation that I think so many women really need right now, because I've had so many moments in my life where no matter what I've achieved, there was still this feeling of needing to prove something. Like I wasn't fully okay as I was. And that pressure, it really disconnects you from yourself. And for many people, it disconnects you from your faith too. And that's why I'm so excited for this conversation, because Christine Shrimp is back and she helps women break free from patterns like sugar and self-sabotage. But more importantly, she helps them reconnect with their identity through truth, through faith, and without shame. Christine, it's really good to see you again. I can't believe how quickly these weeks fly by. Literally feels like I just saw you.
Yeah, thank you for having me again, Lisa. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, it's such an important conversation because so many women are walking around feeling like they're not enough and they're doing so much, right? Where do you think this belief comes from?
Oh my goodness, we just pile on so much shame on ourselves, don't we, ladies? It is something that I lived with for 30 years. And it's because I was stuck in that yo-yo dieting cycle, never able to break free because, as we've talked about on previous episodes, my diet was full of addictive carbohydrates and sugar. And that was never addressed in a way that helped me understand my insulin resistance and all my chronic health diseases that were piling up. But I often talk about, Lisa, which we can have the full conversation here today, is that even though I was carrying 100 pounds of extra physical weight, the heavier weight that weighed on my heart was that emotional toll and the spiritual apathy and just like a disappointment in myself over my spiritual health and maturity, because I was just carrying all of this. And it really did impact my identity in who I was as just a woman, as a mom, as a wife, and most importantly, as a woman of faith. So I'm really excited about this conversation today, because when this all gets healthier, well, that's when we can step into this greater freedom and joy in living.
What do you mean? Like, describe how faith changes the way someone understands their worth, or what did you relate to your faith and that experience that was disconnected from where you are now?
Yeah, I love that you use the word disconnected, because I actually was writing, focusing on a word this week that we may hear people talk about the word dissonance or cognitive dissonance. A new phrase I learned just this week is conscious dissonance. So it sounds to me like disconnect and dissonance, like they go hand in hand. So dissonance for me, or for anybody really, dissonance, a basic description of it is like not fitting in somewhere. And so for so many years, I felt like I never fit in anywhere because of these personal deep struggles that I had with my weight. It was to me like my morbid obesity was my identity. It was my failure. It was my lack of discipline. It was my lack of willpower. It was, why can't I get this right? I'm a high capacity woman, career woman. Everything else seems to be falling into place in my life, but I could just never get this one thing right. And it led me to many years of feeling like I couldn't fit in, that dissonance or that disconnect. And so, you know, all of those years, that really was the biggest challenge that I had to walk through to overcome what was holding me back in walking in freedom and greater joy. So I can almost look back on it. It sounds very strange to say this, but someone who's gone through a massive weight loss journey, I believe that we all experience it's like kind of like this out of body experience now of looking back on our life and the identity that we used to carry around so long that was so heavy, so crushing, so soul crushing. And, you know, being able to leave all of that behind. And this is a message for any woman that's just struggling with her weight too, that's still stuck there. Like, we do fit in, especially women of faith. We are children of God. We were uniquely created and designed. But if this is stirring something in your heart to step out on that health journey to improve your health, we can connect, right? But I don't want you to stay another day disconnected in reality and living in that dissonance of not fitting in, because that's a really heart-wrenching place to live.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. And it is a really hard place to live, because there's the feeling of disconnection from everything and faith and God and yourself, but then the power that food or whatever substance you're using has on you to feel like that is the only way to make you feel like you're enough. And so it's that cycle of addiction. That's what it was like for me when I was in my addiction. It's like, I feel powerless without this substance, but I also feel powerless with it, because I feel like that's not in alignment with who I am deep in my heart. And so it's a really, really difficult place to be, because to break free from that, you have to let go of something that's been controlling you and you're addicted to. And then you have to fight the fight that's so unknown and so vulnerable, right? So it's a scary place to be, and not believing fully what's going to in yourself and all of that. It takes a toll on the confidence.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like when you're ruled by something, like when you are trapped in this addictive behaviors, addiction, you know, I was a sugar addict, a food addict. That's my confession, my testimony. Like, I felt like I was sugar ruled. Like, I was constantly thinking about food. Where is my next meal going to come from? You know, if I'm traveling, where am I going to find something to eat? You know, it just was, it was a fixation, and it ruled my mood. It ruled my day. It ruled my interaction with my friends and family. It ruled my mental bandwidth, you know, and I was not walking in freedom. And to be able to step into that freedom, I had to make a choice to have something different and healthier rule my day to day. And so, you know, that's when the identity shift came into play, and how that, again, I'm going to say the word freedom probably 50 times today in this episode. But I didn't realize how much oppression I was living under when I did not have the right mindset of my identity, of who I was created to be.
Yeah, I remember giving up like opportunities to be social and hang out with other people because I wanted to go home and be alone with my drug of choice. You know, it's like rushing home to be alone with that versus like expanding your mind and being in community, and then feeling so much shame and guilt for that. Mm-hmm. You know, you wake up the next day and you're like, oh my God, what am I doing with my life? It's so scary. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And again, the shame just is a heavy weight that we're carrying around. A little bit more about this dissonance journey that I went on exploring this past week is, you know, the conscious discipline. I got onto this because I was studying the story of Abraham in the Old Testament, and the writer of the book of Hebrews talks about the faith of Abraham. And Abraham, when you look at his story, for those that are not familiar with it, the short story is he was basically told by God to go, like to leave his homeland, pack up everything, and just leave and go to a land that he had no idea where he was going. So he had to do all of that by faith, and he was obedient. And then he lived in tents for the rest of his life. He was a sojourner. He was a nomad. So he was a tent maker, but he was told to go, and he went. And so that's really interesting, because the author of a commentary I'm reading called him, you know, this sojourner who lived in this conscious dissonance. He didn't fit in anywhere, but that was because he was just following what God put on his life. And so that was the opportunity for him to step into greatness, right? Because Abraham, the promise to Abraham that he was going to have more descendants than the number of stars in the sky. And so he was the father of a great nation. And then I compared that to this cognitive dissonance, this psychological term that we hear bantered about so much these days. And cognitive dissonance is the disconnect between knowing something that you want to do or need to do because it's a healthier behavior. Let's just talk about our weight loss journeys, our sugar addictions. We know that sugar damages our health, and yet we still it. Like, and that's where the disconnect is. And that's where the cognitive dissonance lies, because we know what we know, what we know, but yet we choose to do the exact opposite. And that's where that shame gets piled on. And that's why I see so many women that I work with stuck in this place where they're living in the identity of shame. And we need to break free of that, knowing, like, I know what I know. I know I finally got to the point where I understood how much damage sugar was doing to my health. I had prediabetes. I had fatty liver disease. I had obstructive sleep apnea. I had insulin resistance, all the things, they were piling up. And I got to the point where God got my attention, thank God. And I realized what sugar, the damage sugar was doing to my health. And I began to be able to break free from that cognitive dissonance of like, oh, I know I shouldn't be eating sugar or overindulging on a diet high in carbohydrates, unhealthy carbohydrates. And I finally started step by step breaking free from that pattern, those loops that I was in, and began setting healthier patterns. So now I can see this conscious dissonance of now, like Lisa, before I felt like I never fit in, right? Just like this Abraham story, like he never fit in anywhere because he wasn't in the promised land yet. He's in it walking around a tent. I never felt as a morbidly obese woman that I ever fit in anywhere. I walked into a room and I felt like all eyes were on me because of my physical appearance. And that's a really heavy burden to carry and really disheartening and soul crushing and keeps us home a lot. Like you said, I would rather just stay home and indulge on my drug of choice, which was junk food, than to walk into a room full of women and not know where to sit because I never felt I had a seat at the table. But now my new seat, my new calling is showing up and talking about this difficult subject to draw attention to this for women. Like, sugar is doing harm to your health. A diet high in carbohydrates, standard American diet, may be doing you more harm than good. So now I get to talk about this, and that's how I feel that I don't fit in. But I feel like my message is a lot more hopeful, and that even if I don't feel like I fit in, that's okay, because just like Abraham, I'm walking in this calling that God's put on my life and was able to dump this shame, kick it to the curb. And again, the freedom and greater joy in having a purpose in life, right? Having a purpose, that's a whole new identity that I have these days.
Yeah, that's amazing. I do think it's important to note though, that even when you were at your toughest point, or I was at my toughest point, that we were enough in that moment. And I think that's something that holds women back, is that this addiction is controlling me, therefore I'm not enough. I truly believe we're enough as we are all the time. Should we want better health? Yes. If we strive for that? Yes. Is it our fault? No. So that's where the teaching comes in, and the learning, and that confidence, because I can be fully transparent that even though I've fought the FODs and you fought your FOD, like, I still have days where I show up and I don't feel like I'm enough. Like, I still struggle with those things, even though it's been 11 years that I've been working on this, and I still have those days where I feel like I'm not enough. So I think it's like a constant struggle. Like, it's always going to be there, but if you're aware of it, then you can start kind of tackling it, right? And you can remove yourself from it and look at it from a different perspective versus feeling like not enough, or observing, oh, interesting, I don't feel like I'm enough right now. Where is that coming from?
Yeah, right. It's coming from our own pressures that we put on ourselves, our experiences, our history, our difficult work that we haven't quite navigated the way through yet. You know, we have a lot of emotional healing to do in a weight loss journey, because so many of us end up in poor health because of a traumatic history. For me personally, I was bullied as a child because I had some years that I was chubby, and I never let that go. But so that's where the difficult work lies. But, you know, and for women of faith, when I get on coaching calls with them, especially individually one-on-one, if they're feeling especially frustrated or like they're not enough, I have to remind them that, hey, you know, you are uniquely created by God. He loves you if you are 400 pounds, just as much as he would love you as he loves you at 140 pounds. If your heart posture, you know, like your heart is in the right place. Sometimes this battle takes longer for other women, and you know, we all have to be patient. We all have unique individual stories. Some people might overcome alcohol addiction by just saying, that's it, I'm done. They never go to AA. They never do anything. Like, I've seen miracle stories like that with alcohol addiction, sugar addiction, food addiction.
Today, That's it. Yeah. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a coaching client right now who is been 40 years in recovery from drugs and alcohol. And she just quit cold turkey. She did, you know, she did find a lot of support in AA eventually, but I was just like talking to her this week and my jaw was just dropped. Like that is that's like a miracle. Like it's just, yeah. So, but I have a verse that I love to remind women of is 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, she is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And I have to constantly remind myself of that too. And like, sometimes Lisa, I like walk past a mirror and I think I see old Christine and the guilt and the shame come like flooding over me. And I'm like, no, I'm not that same person. I'm not the same person that used to walk down an airplane aisle and panic because I thought I was going to have to ask for a seat extender. You know, I have been set free from that. Praise the Lord. But even if I needed a seatbelt extender, I'm still, you know, in my heart and soul, I'm still the same person. But yeah, it is, it's so complicated. It's a deep conversation. I don't know if we'll even touch the beginnings of this today, but I hope that so far that I've given anybody listening reason to hope and to cling to hope.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of being honest and authentic of what the journey is like, because you can overcome something like an addiction and, you know, better yourself and lose the weight, but still need to work on those things and still struggle with them some days. And that's okay. You know, like it's the enoughness. It's women, like you said, putting so much pressure on ourselves, like needing to have the job and, you know, do the million different things and mm-hmm. keep our emotions in check and be a lady and all the things that we're so pressured to do. It just it creates this constant pressure, right? Mm-hmm. Constant pressure. And therefore, like, no matter what, you work towards bettering your health or, you know, recovering from an addiction, but there's still that feeling of not enoughness, mm-hmm. right? Do you find that with a lot of women that you work with? Do you think there's a lot of pressure and they struggle with that enoughness?
Yeah, definitely. Because most of the women that I coach have been in similar circumstances to my story, being stuck in obesity for 20, 30, 40 years. You know, the women I help are typically ages 40 and up. And it's just this one thing in life that is driving us mad because, again, we have successful careers. We volunteer. We're ministry leaders. We are speakers, writers. We know that God has a calling on our life. But for some reason, this sugar still has authority in our life. And so it's very frustrating because we feel like, why can't I get this right? And most of the women I coach too are a little bit on the side of perfectionism and type A, like I was as well too. It's funny how we attract people that are just like us, right? So yeah, I see that all the time. It's one of the major things that we talk about weekly in my group coaching calls is the emotional part of this journey. And I mean, that includes identity a lot. And I just did my monthly mindset session on our identity in Christ because I thought it was a really important reminder for these women. I gave them scriptures that they could turn to and I got such great feedback from that. So they were like, thank you so much. Like I need to it's like, we need to be reminded of this stuff daily.
Yeah, definitely we do. And I mean, there's another layer to sugar addiction. It's like you said, it's addiction. It's addicting. Like sugar is literally addicting. So there's a scientific backing to this as well. It's not just the craving of it and feeling like you're turning to something. Like it actually changes our body chemistry. It makes us want it. Right. That makes it extra hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like addiction, you know, to alcohol, I'm sure is similar. I've never been in that situation, but yeah, it's the brain biology of it. And this is another thing that I help when I do a full sugar addiction assessment with my clients that, you know, I've been trained in sugar addiction and I have a really powerful diagnostic tool that I can take women through. I love that tool because it helps them see the real picture from a diagnostic tool, from something built on clinical science and psychology. And that helps us overcome the shame. That helps us really be able to say like, oh my goodness, so this really is truly going on in my brain. And I have, you know, most of them have very little understanding of what's happening, that this is a brain disorder, that sugar is really addictive. And once they start seeing, even I just give them a little bit of science, like we don't have to even go that deep to get to uncover the root of all that shame is, look, you have something going on. You have something going on in your brain, and we're going to work on rewiring it, right? We're going to work on those neural pathways and start healing that. And here's how we're going to do it. We're going to wean off of sugar. We're going to, you know, trust the Lord in this journey. And then when they see it, once their eyes are open to it, that's when they can like take even stronger steps into what God has stirred on their heart about their health. Because then they have so much hope.
Right. Yeah, 100%. In your studies with sugar, can you name a few items that maybe people would be surprised to hear are full of sugar or perhaps not the best for us?
Yeah, I actually have a funny story about that. So as I started my weight loss journey, I was working in a corporate office for a physician organization. So I had all kinds of healthcare clinicians in there, and I was standing in the coffee room one day and a nurse practitioner said to me, "My goodness, what are you doing? Like you are like, it's very obvious you're losing weight. What are you doing?" And I just piped up and I said, "I quit sugar." And she said, "Oh, that's amazing." She said, "I really don't struggle with sugar." I was like, "Oh." And she said, "I really struggle with things like potato chips and potatoes and popcorn." And I was like, "Well, I hate to break this to you, but those are all sugar. As soon as they hit your digestion, the enzymes break them down immediately into sugar, like bread and pasta. Those are broken down into sugar really quickly, and then they spike your blood sugar, and this spikes our insulin hormone, and this is what's keeping us overweight and fat." And she was a nurse practitioner. Now, they are not taught this part about nutrition in their training, wow, right? So she, like, her jaw hit the floor. She was like, "What? I really have to look into that." And I was like, "Yeah, I try it. Let me know, because you are not going to unsee what you see once you wean off that. Those sugars can really help you with, a drastic weight loss journey."
Yeah. So along with like chips and all the processed stuff, so when it hits the body, converts to sugar, right? Is mm-hmm. that how it works? So anything yeah. white. What about stuff like rice?
Yeah, rice is sugar. Rice, flour, grains. So no sugar, no grains. That includes flours, breads that are made from flour. Popcorn, people are really surprised about popcorn. They're like, "Well, that's a healthy snack." I'm like, "Yeah, but that's what standard American dietary advice would tell you to eat in moderation. You know, pop your one cup of popcorn and eat it, but it's pure sugar as soon as it hits your stomach." So yeah, all of those things. Like, and I was a savory sugar addict. That would be my go-to. I would prefer to eat a half a bag of potato chips over a bunch of Oreo cookies. You know, that would right. be my go-to. Yes. So, but then I would be in this vicious cycle of, well, I ate something sweet, now I need something salty. And then I ate something salty, now I need something sweet. Sometimes nights like that would happen. And then I would really go off the rails. And I can look back and think, "Oh my goodness, that was like a major sugar binge." And that's like a perfect example of the addiction that I was trapped in.
100%. Well, I think it's important to also consider the world that we live in, because it's constantly telling us things like, "We're not enough," or "We're behind," or "We should look like this," or "Our house should look like this," or "Our bodies need to look like this in order to be beautiful." How much of that do you think is contributing to our stuckness or our not enoughness?
Yeah, well, it's huge. Yes, because we have to really, I encourage my coaching clients all the time to put on blinders. Like, we have to put on blinders. And women, we don't take care of ourselves enough, because we're constantly called to take care of other people, right? Whether we have our children are still at home, or we have aging elderly parents, or we have a ministry that we're called to, or we have volunteer positions, like, we're always saying yes. And this is part of the emotional journey too, is being able to prioritize our health first, not to the point of obsession that we're going overboard. We become a totally selfish person. That's not what I'm talking about. But I always say that when we feel better, we serve better. So if we want to continue serving in the way that God has created us and called us to serve, this purpose in life that he's given us, then we have to feel better. So it is a huge barrier to get women to focus in on themselves and understand that they have to prioritize their health, especially at the age of women that I serve. We're just so typically busy and overwhelmed doing all the things. And you know, honestly, that's how some of our health got into unfortunate circumstances as well, too.
Yeah, the nervous system definitely plays a huge role in the safety part. And so when your nervous system is unhealthy, then you're more likely to reach for those things like sugar and food to help your body relax or feel like it's relaxing, even though it's not. Mm-hmm. It's making things worse. But and I think that like there's so much pressure to be at a certain place by a certain time. And that's where impatience comes in. And impatience can keep women feeling stuck. Like, I'm 41, I've never been married, and I don't have children. And when people hear that, they're like shocked by that. And it's like, mm-hmm. they look at me like, my God, what do you do? Like, it's like, I'm a specimen, you know, it's like I'm just living life a little bit differently. So I really do think it's important to recognize that we're all on different paths, and we don't need to be anywhere. We just need to be here, right?
Yeah, that's so true. And I feel like I'm a little bit of a specimen too, because my lifestyle is, some people think it's restrictive, but I don't call it restriction at all. I call it freedom, because I know what would happen to me if I started overindulging in sugar again. I would end up morbidly obese in no time. And so for me, this is what God has put on my heart. Like, you'll eat this way. You're going to share about this. You're going to help my women get healthy, you know, all of that. So I kind of feel like I'm under a microscope too, because no one wants to hear. Sometimes I'm afraid that people don't want to hear about this, Lisa, because for me, I felt convicted a lot when I was obese, and I knew that it wasn't a healthy way to live. And I know women feel like that. But again, if God, I always encourage them, and like women come to my masterclass weekly, and I don't get to serve all of those women that show up. A lot of them are just there to listen and like, what is she talking about? And they don't take action. So I know that I know the answer is easy, but I know the action is difficult. And I just pray for people, for women. I want everybody to be healthy and to walk in this freedom and greater joy. But I know that God's timing is everything too, right? We're like, kind of like where you said, we're just meant to be where we're meant to be. I can plant seeds all day long. I can give hope and inspiration, but it's God that has to move them to action when they have an answer put right in front of them.
Yeah. There's holding on to the belief. I heard you talk about that on a previous show, something knowing, but mm-hmm. then it's one thing to know and believe, but it's another to act. And I do truly believe that God puts us on our path and then removes the barriers when the timing is right. Because mm-hmm. I've 1,000% woken up and have been like, I just feel better today. Mm-hmm. You know, in a way that's unexplainable. And it's like, feels like a miracle has come in. That's how I can describe my sobriety, is like, just finally being like, okay, I can do this now, mm-hmm. you know? So I try not to worry about things now, because I'm like, okay, I'm feeling resistance. That means something's shifting, and eventually the season is going to be over, right? But it's hard when you're in the middle of the fire of the war, because you just want nothing more than to be out of it and to feel better. So maybe you could speak to those women. How do you manage the fire, the war? Like, what do you do?
Yeah, I did use a lot of war terminology in my book, Sugar Freed. The subtitle is Stop Losing the Weight Loss Battle, Start Gaining the Victory. I talked about marching orders and all kinds of military terms in my book, because it is.
Interesting. I'm channeling your book right now.
Yeah, you are. It is a battle. And oh my goodness, it's so worthy of a battle. So we have to stay in the fight, right? For those of us that have been stirred to take back and take ownership of our health, to stay in the fight means stepping into that freedom and victory. Right. And I used the word victory intentionally on my subtitle as well, too, because I never experienced this victory in the 30 years I was yo-yo dieting until I was set free from this sugar and food addiction. And the way I did that was with a low carb way of eating and intermittent fasting. But the battle is so worth it. And sometimes I love to encourage my coaching clients that we have to stack these daily wins. Right? No matter how small they are. Some weeks we're going to have big wins. We're going to be like, well, I lost 3 pounds on the scale this week. Well, the scale does not share our identity, right? The scale is just a tool, one of the many tools that we can use. But stacking daily wins that just sounds like victory, right? And sometimes we're going to suffer defeat in part of this journey, right? That's all part of growth. We don't grow unless we have some type of friction. So be okay with that. Be okay with sitting in the friction part of this journey too, because that is really going to help you be more resilient in those spurts of growth that you have. And, you know, that's where the victory, you can get there. Like, don't give up. Just don't give up. That's why I have a long-term coaching program. Like, I'm not a, here's a meal plan. Good luck. Right? I'm linking arms with these women and saying, don't give up. Don't give up. We're here for you. I'm here for you as your coach. This whole community's here for you. As a community of women, a fellowship that we all know each other. Like, we've all felt that heavy identity of like not measuring up. And we all are longing for really, truly understanding our identity in Christ and how he created us and how he wants us to live free. So yeah, victory, victory. It is a battle, but victory is worth it.
And what about like balance? Because I know like for me, when I got sober, and you can probably relate to this, there were times where like I had to take something like an Advil and I felt guilty about it. Like relating it back to those times where I was addicted to all the things. And then I'm like, wait a minute, why am I beating myself up about needing some pain medication for my toothache? You know, like but it made me feel like I was back in that problem, and it takes you right back there. Like, it literally does. Your body doesn't know the difference. So how do you balance that? And how do you allow yourself the freedom to just live? Like, we're not perfect, so we can't be perfect. Mm-hmm. We're going to mess up. We're going to fall. We're going to have to get back up again, right? But even like the reality of having an Advil, like there's nothing wrong with that, but we always make ourselves feel like there might be. So how do we balance life again once we're out of the problem?
Yeah. And I always say that small habits build and deliver big results. And so we really have to rely on the healthy habits that we've established, because then if we do have a little slip or a little like choice that we would, I wish we wouldn't have made that choice, right? If we have that moment, we have a solid foundation of what is helps our healing, that is what is keeping our healing journey going, that's keeping us living at a healthy weight. I've recently gone through like 2 solid years of chronic stress. And the result for that has been my lack of discipline in the evening. Like, I never used to, I got to a healthy weight because I stopped snacking in the evening. I no longer needed snacks. I'm eating 2 meals a day, right? Well, occasionally I would find myself eating snacks at 8 o'clock at night in front of British TV. And it was nuts. And it was like keto cheese crisps and things like that. But still, I did not need to be eating. And it was just that stress that, and it bubbled all that back up, you know, like I just need something to cope with. And so I've really gotten that back under control. But there was a long season there where it's like, that's my slip. That's what my slip has been guilty of. But the balance is grace. We have to give ourselves a lot of grace. And when we give ourselves grace, instead of constantly berating ourselves as a failure, that's when we can get back right on track. Like, we can get right back on track. And then the bigger balance is, I love to remind women that like when we get to a healthy weight, our goal is metabolic flexibility, meaning if we have an apple and we're not a full-blown sugar addict, if an apple doesn't drive us to like overindulge in sugar and create that sugar cycle again, you know, maybe someday some of the coaching clients that I have will eat apples. You know, it's like, let's do the healing part. You have to do the healing part, right? Because you didn't face that Advil probably early in your journey. Comes at times that we don't expect it. We're going to be in seasons where we have more stress, but having a solid foundation of, these are the healthy lifestyle habits that work for me, and I'm going to stand on this foundation because that's what's going to keep me sane. It's sane and sober. Right. We call ourselves sugar sober in my community too.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. What is a few small steps that someone can do today in order to move towards their enoughness?
Yeah. Guys, for women of faith, I suggest grabbing onto a scripture. Jesus talks about freedom a lot. And like, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Like, this is all about me. I used to think that God never cared about my health, right? I thought it was all under my control because I was a failure, because I couldn't do it. This was something I had to get right before I could even go to God, but that's a complete opposite. I should have been going to him all along. So grabbing onto some scripture, women of faith, grabbing onto scripture, and then women really examining what you are eating in your way of life. Now, I never went to any dietary programs, standard programs, I won't name them, but you know, we're all familiar with all the ones that we continually sign up for. and don't get the results we're looking for. None of them had me like examine the sugar that was in my diet. And so we really can do that. We can sit down and we can really think about like, what is the number one sugar source that we're putting in our mouth every day? For me, it was happened to be coffee creamer. I was starting my day with a little bit of coffee and a whole lot of sugared creamer. So that was the first thing to go. Just making little choices and building upon them helps build it. Again, it really solidifies that foundation and begins helping us step into the next step. And the next step and the next step. It is a journey worth taking, obviously. And I always find that when we do it step by step, we have more success.
Yeah, awareness is always the first piece. And sometimes it's scary to look at all of that. I remember in my 20s when I was getting Visa bills and like, I wouldn't want to open them because I wouldn't want to see where the money was going. But until I looked at it and then I understood it, I feel like the awareness piece is the first thing. Because we don't even realize what we're doing. You didn't even realize you were waking up and putting sugar in your coffee, right? It was just something that you were doing. And sometimes we don't. We need like someone to see it from the outside.
Yes. I have told women, I've written it lately about how we can't change what we don't confess, right? You know, it's like we have to find it to fix it. So yeah, that is really the first step is the awareness.
And I think being comfortable with uncomfort is also something that we need to learn how to sit in, because it's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be easy. Anything unknown is challenging, but it still doesn't change our worth. Even though we're struggling, it doesn't change our worth. And a lot of women feel that if they're, you know, not presented. I used to think if I didn't have my hair and makeup done that I wasn't enough, you know, like, there's so many things that we could go on forever. What do you think changes when a woman totally understands her worth?
Oh my goodness, the hope and just the joy. And like when I talk to women who are new to my way of coaching, the sugar-free way of life, it's like, wow, I take them through a 21-day detox. Those that are open to it and doing it, that's like the first step of coaching I have. And just the testimonies that I'm getting out of that, like, I can't believe I can do this. Like, I never, ever in a million years would have thought that I could do this. I'm so grateful for those women that, you know, God has brought to that point to say yes, because that really is their first step. And detoxing off of sugar, you know, step by step, again, step by step, no ripping off the Band-Aid. I find that is can be frustrating for women if we rip off the Band-Aid and try to do all of it at once. It can move us from this identity of like, I'm such a failure. I idolize food and sugar too much. But that step-by-step plan is the doorway. It's the doorway into something different. It's the doorway into this conscious dissonance where we might not fit into the worldly standards of dietary advice. You know, we might be ditching some of the things that we've learned over the years, but we're finding a new way to fit in.
Absolutely. So tell everyone more about your programs.
Okay. So I am the author and the founder of the Sugar Freed Method. My book is called Sugar Freed: Stop Losing the Weight Loss Battle, Start Gaining the Victory. And I have a whole method put together to help ladies be set free from these years of what I call circling the mountain when it comes to our way of eating, because I have found things like everything in moderation is keeping us stuck, right? Because you can't moderate an addictive substance like sugar. I mostly help women who are insulin resistant, pre-diabetic, type 2 diabetic, have chronic health issues piling up, and are way over ingesting sugar. And not just the sweet stuff, you know, again, the flours and the grains and all of that. So I have a 21-day detox program that I help women get started. And from there, I move them into my full 13-week coaching program. And from there, I have a community membership where they stay with us, because this is a lifelong transformation, right? We have to stay grounded. Fellowship is key. And we focus on 5 pillars, and it is food, fasting, feelings, fitness, and fellowship, all grounded on faith. It's a faith-based program for Christian women.
Amazing. What do you want to say to the woman up there who's struggling today?
You are worth it. You are worth it. You are worthy. And your health is important. You have like this one life to live. And I promise you that when you feel better, you'll serve better. And you will just have so much mental clarity and energy that you'll be like, well, I can't believe nobody told me about this earlier. Yeah, ditching that sugar and eating whole, wholesome food from God's Good Smorgasbord is really going to help set you free.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being here today and for having this real and raw, honest conversation. I think it's so important, and so important that people know that it's going to be a journey and it's not a one-time thing. Like you were talking about those programs that are out there that promise the world within a few months. And then what? You know, it's there's all this yo-yo dieting, but a sustainable program is one that you're committed to forever. Like healthy living is a lifetime commitment. Yeah. So I think it's important that people understand that.
Yes. So true. You understand that from the standpoint of addiction. We need to remove the addictive substance from our lives. And that's where we're going to find that freedom.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Thank you again for being here. And to our audience, thank you so much for tuning in. You're not behind. You're not late. You are enough. Where you are is where you're meant to be. But if you are struggling with addiction, it is a real thing. And I take it very seriously. And so does Christine. And especially with something like food, we're going to have Christine's information in the show notes. So if you feel connected to her, if you feel connected to this conversation, maybe you know somebody who needs to hear this conversation. Maybe you're not the one, but maybe you're thinking of someone right now. Please send them this episode. Please send them her information. Let's get them the help they need. Most important thing is that we do connect with each other. We do need community. We do need that fellowship, and we can thrive if we stick together. Stay tuned for the next episode, everyone. Thanks for being here today.